This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, and a good morning to everybody out there. Frosting the car windows, look out. Try to find that scraper as soon as you can, because I know you're going to be late for work.
Yes.
It takes you as long as it took me.
Really? A lot of scraping going on?
Yeah, a little scraping going on this morning.
Yeah, well, good morning. How are you doing, John?
Well, you know, I was doing great until I had to scrape the windows.
Did you have to try and use like a cassette case like Gordy used to do?
I used a cassette case, and then I tried a credit card like you tried at one time, and then I think I'm trying to come up with alternative ways to scrape the ice off my windows.
Maybe you should pour boiling water on it. That'll get the ice off of it, right?
Yeah, we heard about that yesterday. That's
somebody from the deep south tried that when they hadn't experienced frost on the windshield before after moving up here up north.
Let's just add a little ice to it.
Boiling water.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's still cold out there this morning, but I guess it's going to warm up over the weekend from what we hear, right? It's 13 degrees currently. Oh, I didn't check the wind chill.
You know, I'm hoping that it does warm up. I got to put in a solar light for my backyard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, it just lights up the backyard in case somebody is moving around back there, you know, the deer, the antelope. The coyotes.
You get raccoons.
I get those. I get possums.
You get beavers.
No. Hundreds of beavers, though, I understand, are gathering at the movie theater.
Well, not anymore, because a certain guy took care of them last night at the theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Were you there for that?
I was.
Oh, yeah.
I went too.
That's right.
It was quite a sight to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I ended up seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I snuck into the theater at the last minute.
Yeah, you told me you snuck in. I saw you at the very end when the security guard discovered that you didn't have a ticket.
Right.
You guys
threw
were wrestling.
Me out.
Yeah.
Details.
It's fun. It's fun doing that now, isn't it?
No, it was an interesting movie.
Was I right? A little bit too many attempts to trap beavers.
Get thee to an editor.
Yeah.
That's what I was kept saying.
Too many attempts to catch beavers. That's kind of the point of the movie.
I don't. Was there a point to the movie?
I think so.
I didn't determine that.
Well, if you don't stop the beavers, they create a huge multiplex dam.
I made it through about 2/3 of the movie, and I said, "That's it."
You didn't even watch the end of it. Oh, come on!
No,
I can't. I love
the best
listen.
Part.
Wait a minute. I love the art direction and the abstract visual stuff. I mean, that was
so surreal.
That was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the rest of the movie, but I appreciate it. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a look to it that was very cool and very unusual, and just. But I didn't discern any kind of plot anywhere. It's just kind of a strung together bunch of incidents that happen.
What I found out when I saw Lake Michigan Monster is that this director, the writer of this, puts all the action in that final scene. I mean, all the special effects, everything takes place in that final scene, right?
Yeah, the last ten minutes.
It was really it was really fantastic.
Well, I'll have to fast forward to that and watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, check it out there. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, anyway.
We get a lot of joggers out on State Street. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I swear to God, it's the same people that I saw five minutes ago.
In the winter like this.
Down State Street, yeah. Well, burn off a lot of calories that way in the freezing
cold. We're nuts here. You know? I mean, we didn't see this many people jogging in the summer.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what that what it's all about.
I don't get it at all.
Doesn't Sam look very dapper this morning with his...
I was going to say, he looks like he came right out of a... What, a
what,
70s...
Because I'm wearing a turtleneck? Yeah. That makes
a
me 70s,
dapper now? Monkeys episode.
Right. Yeah. Why are you dressed up? A job interview or what?
I didn't mean to... This is the same thing I was wearing last night to the movie, actually.
Oh.
Okay. Sophia said she liked my outfit, too, so I don't know.
So you've been up all night, huh?
Maybe I just... Yeah. Maybe I just hit on the right combination of things today.
It's nice. It looks good. Yeah. And he brought in his percolator.
Oh,
Have you had any of the coffee yet from it?
No. No, I haven't. Do we have extra cups sitting around here someplace?
Yeah, we got tons of
cups. Not the porcelain cups, just the little styrofoam things, you know?
No. No, we don't have those.
You're a fan of styrofoam cups?
No, I'm not, actually. Do we have paper cups, something that degrades?
I don't know. Maybe. We've got a water cooler.
Well, you're here all day long,
out.
You know?
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. We'll have to try the percolated coffee from a... Well, what do you think the coffee maker's from, like a 40s?
No, it's not that old. Probably the late 70s or early 80s.
Late 70s. Okay. Yeah. It's gorgeous, though. It looks
I can't wait.
It looks like something out of I Dream of Jeannie. The Jeannie bottle. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got that modern design of the 60s.
That's right.
Whatever you call that. Retro now.
It's really cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, weather-wise today, 13 degrees. You want to know the afternoon high, or do you care? Do you want to just roll
it? Yeah, we all care.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get the lottery balls out.
Doesn't it look like I even care today at all?
No, it doesn't look
like I gave up on life.
Yeah. Well, not the first time. First ball is 3. Second ball
is...
A 1, 31 degrees. So a little bit of a warm-up today.
That's good.
I guess it gets better over the weekend.
Yeah.
Right now, 13 degrees, but it feels like 3 degrees.
We can be in the 40s or something.
Oh, boy.
We'll ask Brittany again what she's thinking.
We've got a jam-packed show today.
I didn't know it was Brittany. Did she mention it was her birthday?
Brittany Merlot?
No, she didn't. Well, she mentioned to me yesterday. I forgot about this. She's going to be off today. She must be taking off because it's her birthday.
Okay.
Wow.
I thought you sent her a birthday.
Did I?
Thing on Facebook.
Oh, I That's probably all did. I don't know. Okay. I guess it was. Okay. And now it rings a bell. Yeah. Okay.
And on top
is your memory that bad, Gordon?
Yes, it is.
And on top of that,
I got a lot of stuff going on. I can't.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, well, I heard it the other day, and I wanted to say something. Pete Schwab's.
Oh, 1 year anniversary.
1 year anniversary.
Yeah, we missed that. Yeah, that happened a few days ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We are just so bad, you know?
Well, and it was Jacqueline's birthday yesterday, too.
Oh, it was.
I just found that out on Facebook last night.
Well, we have too many birthdays and anniversaries.
You think so? Pair those back.
Yeah, we got to pair those back.
Let's go to the National Day calendar for today, December 6th. Too many celebrations going on. Can't keep track of them.
Good one.
Okay. Is it or is it not National Prepare Your Car for Winter Day? Is it National Microwave Oven Day? National Mitten Tree Day. National Bartender Day. National Gazpacho Day. St. Nicholas Day. Today? National Miners Day or National Pawnbrokers Day. There's a lot to choose from. Which one of these days does not belong?
It's not Emerald.
What? Emerald.
Didn't you have some kind of emerald...
I never said the word emerald at all. No.
All right. Well, I
give him
no
the buzzer. He can't figure it out.
I can't remember. I'm paring back what I hear.
Not a bad idea. Sam, how about you?
Either what you said second, I don't even remember what it was, or... You see, I got a bad memory, too.
It's catching.
Yeah.
It's contagious.
Pawnbroker Day? It's not Pawnbroker Day.
It is Pawnbroker Day.
Man.
You got that wrong.
Pretty good. It's good memory.
It's not National Prepare Your Car for Winter Day.
Oh.
But although you think it should be.
Yeah, it should be.
It should have it. Are you okay over there? the Kleenex is right there.
I'm blue.
You go through a lot of Kleenex every day, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a coffee take.
A spit take?
Yeah, a spit take.
Into the microphone?
Well, no, I did a spit take right into the cover of my coffee cup, and it blew back in my face.
It's National Microwave Oven Day.
Right. What's the that all about?
Let's see.
Well, you know, we covered the technology of microwave ovens, remember? Because they have that that screen on the front of all the microwave ovens. And you wonder why you're not burned by the microwaves in it. And the microwaves are very large waves.
Okay.
And they can't make it through the little holes on the screen of your microwave.
To protect us all. Yeah. Okay.
When did you get your first microwave? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I
know it was a traumatic experience. Back then, they were very expensive.
You know, quite by accident, they discovered a way to heat food.
That's right.
Because of microwaves. Yes. Self-taught American engineer, you know, some guy just tooling around in his garage. Percy Spencer was his name. While working on an active radar in 1945, he noticed a melting chocolate bar in his pocket.
He was irradiating himself?
Yes. The high-powered microwave beams created a heating effect ideal for cooking. Spencer deliberately attempted cooking popcorn. That was the first thing he tried with microwaves.
Really?
Next, he tried cooking an egg. Both the popcorn and the egg created dramatic results, it says here. However, the popcorn resulted in success. Unlike the egg, exploded in his fellow engineer's face. Wow, his assistant really got it. That's too bad.
Have you ever microwaved a whole egg?
No.
Never. But it does explode.
Yeah. Does it? We should try that.
Did you actually try that?
Yeah. When I was a kid, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Anyway,
a lot.
They patented the microwave oven way back in 1945.
Yeah.
But they didn't become commercially available until the radar range came out from Amana in 1947. Oh, Raytheon came out with that. Okay.
Well, you know, the whole thing here is that we used to get free microwave ovens with a purchase at American TV.
Those were the old days.
Yeah.
Microwave oven or a 10-speed bike.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much.
Or grandfather clock.
Mm-hmm. It's a mitten tree day. Mitten trees. Okay.
Those are kind of handy, but who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't know.
Who's going to put their mitten on a mitten tree
so it would dry out? Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
National Bartender Day today. We salute all the bartenders out there. Gazpacho Day.
Yep.
And St. Nicholas Day. Why would that be today?
St. Nicholas Day.
Doesn't make any sense. National Miners Day, National Pawnbrokers Day, and National... Oh, I missed one. Faux Fur Friday. Faux Fur Friday.
Oh, yeah. You want faux fur.
Faux fur.
Yep.
Faux fur. St. Nicholas Day, modern day Santa Claus.
That's because it's probably in another country, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like another country's holiday.
All right. Coming...
Because we don't have enough here.
No, we don't. We need... Yeah. Pair those back too. Let's get on with history book after these messages. What? Oh, I'm Pam Bianchi.
Wait, we've got Pam Bianchi coming up. This is going to be a great. We're going to try to do this ever so often.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online at verlo.com.
All right.
It is cold out there this morning, 13 degrees. Highs this afternoon around 31. And right now it feels like 3 degrees.
The feel-like temperature is outrageous this morning.
Wind chill.
It is.
All right.
It is.
We are attempting to reach Pam Bianchi. What's the word?
So I just had to restart her phone system, got her phones working again, dialed her number, and now it says it's out of service.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, did you call her cell?
I called the number in her email signature.
Today? No, right now. She sent us a...
What?
She sent us an email with a cell number.
Okay.
Well, we'll give that a try then.
All right. Just, you know, I got a little pop up on my screen here saying that we had an additional call from Pam, and we're having phone problems this morning. Well, and this is a great way to start this new feature.
Well, it's exciting.
This is, our farm report right here. And because there are so many great things coming up in farming, some great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't resist having Pam on the program.
Yeah. We have her now, I think. Do we?
Yes.
All right. We made the connection now. We're having some sort of phone problems here at the studios, but we welcome Pam Yockey to the John and Gordy Show this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing good now.
We're doing okay now. We had some last-minute technical difficulties, but you know how that goes. We got through it.
I certainly do. It wouldn't be a Friday morning without it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. But, you know, you sent us some of the topics that you'd like to talk about today, and I am really fascinated by the fact that drones that are used in farming are getting bigger and bigger now. Is that correct?
Oh, I wasted so much time this morning watching the video of this rascal. I think we've all had our encounters with drones, whether it's your kid running one into the wall or something like that, or, you know, law enforcement finding the crook in the marsh with one, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right.
But these kind of blow my mind. So these literally, fellas, are full-sized helicopters that we're talking about.
Wow.
And they're unmanned. I guess, you know, it's not, obviously, it's not like a people carrier kind of helicopter. It's a little bit more streamlined. But the bottom line is, for real, they put platforms on the back of essentially trucks that can go out into the middle of the field carrying whatever product they're going to apply, let's say fungicide or herbicide, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plane can literally land on the platform, be refueled, be reconnected with the sources, and then bang, just like your kid's drone, it's controlled from the ground, it takes off. And I thought to myself, man, they're talking $1.5 million for one of these. And I thought, okay, now how does it pencil out?
Yeah.
But in reality, it's cheaper than the way we're doing it now. Comes in about $2 an acre. They figure they can do about 240 acres and I want to say an hour. I'd have to look back at my numbers.
Yeah.
But it's, and, you know, the other thing I didn't realize, I had a story on this morning about it. I didn't realize how many old people like me would call them crop dusters.
Yeah.
How many crop dusters lost their lives this year just trying to put product on? So a lot of different reasons.
This would replace the crop dusters, the pilots that do this stuff,
yeah.
Right?
This
is a fantastic idea. We're talking to Pam Yockey, Midwest Farm Report, and we're getting the latest on farming news, and I just love this idea. But, you know, it seems like the other farmers, everybody could kind of join in or pay for or help pay for something like this, a product like this.
Yeah.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking myself is, are we going to need air traffic control on somebody's farm for all these drones that are going to be zip over fields?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, in theory, a group of farmers could get together and buy one of these and operate it, because the hard part about when you need them is you need them now.
Yeah.
Like the weather window is only open so far, or you can only attack the bugs in a certain window. And obviously time is of the essence. So making sure that you've got this rig here instead of having them fly it up from Kansas or some of the other states we lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, let's not mince words. Agriculture is an aging population.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of people that are getting excited about getting into agriculture, at least not in the volumes that we need them. So we're facing a labor shortage. Now you're telling me that if I'm going to take this job on, you know, that thrill of being in the air is one thing, but the fear of coming boom on the ground obviously is a factor that's keeping some people from investing in being crop dusters of the next generation. So I just thought it was kind of fascinating this morning to think, you know, just a couple years ago, we had drones that were basically just telling us where the crop was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just was giving us little pictures. And now all of a sudden it's turning into a utility for us potentially.
Pam, are these already being used in Wisconsin? Are they out there?
Well, nope, not yet. That's why I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. So this company, Rotor, R-O-T-O-R-A-I, is just waiting for FAA approval to put them in the air in 2025, but they said they've already got advance orders. And if you look at the video, the other thing I thought was interesting is the video on their website will give people a direct idea of what agriculture looks like today. You see a lot of young people, techies, mm-hmm. you see investor type people, and you also see farmers that aren't the bibs and toothpick that are standing there ready to write a check to make this happen for their operation.
Bibs and toothpick. Yeah. I like that picture. Pam, we only have a minute or so
just
left.
A minute left.
But one of the other things that you were talking about recently, more cheese and butter coming from the same amount of milk.
Yeah, how do they do that?
How is that possible?
You know what? Because our Wisconsin dairy farmers do it so well. They take such good care of those cattle. The cattle have fantastic genetics that every hundredweight, which is the way we talk in dairy, every hundredweight of milk today is producing about a pound more butter than it did a decade ago, and about a pound more cheese than it did a decade ago. And that's just because of great care from Wisconsin farmers and the fantastic genetics those cows carry.
Well, I think my family is countering that. I think we're eating that extra amount. So.
Many are, my boy. That's right.
It is. Well, Pam, thanks for joining us. I can't wait for other reports that we're going to get here on the program.
Can we call you Monday, same time? Will that work for you?
Let's do it, boys. All right.
We're really happy to have you with us, Pam. We appreciate
it. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great weekend, fellas.
All right.
All right,
you too.
Very good. That's Pam Yonke, of course, with the Midwest Farm Report here throughout the Civic Media Network.
Absolutely.
Great to have her with us. 29 past the hour. Coming back with Idiocracy on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Now listen, Grapehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
And we'd like to thank Sherry out in Horicon, for the fantastic emoji this morning.
Where did she come up with
these? I don't know where she came up with that one.
Dancing coffee cup.
I think somebody was on LSD at the time when they put this thing. It's kind of scary, actually, but I like it. It's just weird enough. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, we're taking your phone calls and texts at 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. You can always text us on the Civic Media app. Anytime. What?
I'm just thinking about this first topic that we've got coming up here.
Okay.
This is just way over the top. This is true idiocracy right here. Donald Trump's advisor, Steve Miller, and we all know Stephen Miller.
Not the guitar player, not the rocker, the other Stephen Miller.
Kind of a bald-headed guy. I was going to say Nazi, but you don't want to call these guys names, true names, names that actually fit. But anyway, he vowed on Thursday that federal workers would soon be banned from, get this, banned from working out of their bathtub when they work from home.
Federal workers are working from home in their bathtubs.
You're telling me that you don't... When on the clock, light a candle, pour a glass of wine, settle into a nice bubble bath.
Yeah, when I was working from home, doing this show. Remember when we were doing that?
Right.
I did it from the shower.
Yeah.
It didn't work out real well because you guys, I didn't know where your eyes were going. All right, let's play the let's play this clip. This is fantastic stuff. This is Jesse Waters interviewing Stephen Miller. Listen to this.
Government has only gotten bigger. We're $36 trillion in debt. Agencies are bloated, and bureaucrats have never been lazier. Biden spent 40% of his presidency on vacation, but compared to the rest of the government, he's a workaholic. A new Senate report says only 6% of federal workers go into the office 5 days a week. And if you don't count security guards and maintenance staff, only 1% of government workers do 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. 1%. Almost 90% of government office buildings are completely empty. So where is everyone? One manager at Veterans Affairs took a picture of himself working from a bubble bath. He called it my office for the next hour. What kind of man takes a bubble bath? Men age out of bubble baths at 5. If you're a guy and you're alone in a bubble bath,
What's wrong with that? That's a problem. Come on.
You have to have someone with you.
What?
Remember when the GSA got caught in a Vegas bubble bath holding a California cab? Yeah. And the only federal workers showing up to the office are having sex with each other. If you caught the show yesterday, we reported a Breitbart exclusive, a major scandal rocking the VA. Our report stated there was a 12-person orgy, but we have to issue a correction. It wasn't a 12-person orgy. It was 15. We apologize to the three we left out. Incoming Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy and Homeland Security Advisor Stephen Miller joins me now. Stephen Miller, should grown men be taking bubble baths?
Grown men should not be taking bubble baths, and they certainly should not be doing their work from home in a bubble bath. It's just so, it's so emblematic of the contempt that so many people in the swamp have for the people who pay their salaries. When Donald Trump is inaugurated on January 20th, and that new golden age of America begins, he's going to tell the federal workers of this country who are paid for by your viewers to get back into the office and do their jobs or find another line of work. We are not paying billions and billions of dollars for people to sit at home all day as federal workers streaming their favorite shows on Netflix, lounging around in bubble baths and doing God knows what else, but definitely not working for the American people.
I think they're probably getting the job done. They didn't mention if the job was getting done or not. You know, it's just this point, you know, that men can't take bubble baths. Where'd that come from?
What's wrong with bubbles?
You know? I mean, they can do that in their free time if they want, but they can't take it. Not men.
Do you take a lot of bubble baths, John? Or,
I wish I did. We got a deep soaking tub for our shower when we get the bathroom redone, and it's perfect for bubble baths. You know, it is. Yeah. But no one takes a bath. It's stupid. But, you know, if you can do it and still do your work from home for the federal government, I say, have at it.
More power to you. Get the Mr. Bubble and have a party.
And what is this 15 people orgy that's going on? I want more of that information. You know, it sounds like government's a great place to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not so bad working for the federal government after all.
Well, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are going to take care of that, right?
Yeah.
With the Department of whatever they're calling it.
They're going to.
They're creating a department.
They're going to follow
thin air.
People so they don't buy bubble bath at the store, because then we know they're taking bubble baths on federal time.
Well, they're all about efficiency, you know, so they got to check up on these things.
I have a hard time believing, you know, the article on Fox News is that almost 90% of government office buildings are completely empty. It seems a little extreme, right? You know, I don't think that many people are working from home.
Who did that study? I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. But here's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of other things to consider when you're working from home. It wasn't just COVID that showed us that you can do it, but also it saves a lot of gas and commute time, pollution, right? I mean, it really takes care of that problem as well.
Yeah, remember during COVID when no one was driving to work, and for the first time in like 60 years, Los Angeles had no smog over its sky?
Right.
Crazy.
Gas prices plummeted.
Right.
So I don't know. I just see there are a lot of reasons why working from home is a good idea, and now they want to go back to work in order to fire a whole bunch of people who don't want to go back to work. They prefer working from home. So they're trying to use that as an excuse to cull the herd, so to speak.
Well, the working from home thing is more of a thing now than ever. Because of the pandemic, and like you say, right, people realize they could do their work from home. But I'm not sure all jobs, especially government jobs, should be done, just from home. It depends on the job.
Well, times change. This is another example of times changing.
Yeah.
And these guys don't want to move with time. They just want to stay doing the same old thing over and over, having people go to the office, sitting in cubicles, making their lives miserable instead of sitting in a bubble bath doing their hard work.
Now, was the orgy taking place in the bubble bath, or was it disconnected story? What was that?
Well, I think he said because all of the buildings are supposedly empty, 15 workers showed up there and had their fun.
Oh. Well,
Lord.
Yeah, if you can do it. I'm all for that, Use your imagination, folks. And these are government workers at work.
They need to have their relaxation time, and they need a little extra recreation, apparently.
I got to say, the funniest
under part, a lot of stress.
The funniest part of that story is hearing Stephen Miller say, grown men should not be taking bubble baths. That weird voice, that cadence he has. He's just, wow.
They're going to have that on his gravestone someday. His famous quotes.
Well, I don't know.
Great story. Fox News.
That
Jesse
is
Waters.
A weird and wild, wacky story.
Okay, we're taking some texts here at 608-879-8255. Got a lot of them coming in, 879-TALK. And again, of course, you can use the Civic Media app. Checking
well,
out
we're
any
not,
of those?
Well, let's talk about Matt out in Middleton. They aren't entirely wrong about government bloating. Mm-hmm. I am at the post office, and they have a lot of useless upper management and administrative roles, not to mention the corruption between management with bonuses to each other for cutting hours.
Oh,
and providing bad service, right?
That's at the post office?
Yeah. I guess, I don't know if it's in Middleton necessarily, but he might work someplace else. Yeah, they had hearings with DeJoy in Congress,
right? That's
right,
yeah.
They were nailing him. Fine. How long did it take? We've been
wasn't that guy
crying
fired
out for 4 years when Biden took office.
Yeah. I thought Biden was going to fire him immediately because of all the things he had done under the Trump administration.
DeJoy, right?
Yeah.
And he,
and
he's out there, and boy, did he lose weight, huh? He looks healthy. This guy looks healthy now. I almost feel sorry for him being picked on. Here's the thing. They had this problem with closing a lot of warehouses in rural areas, and rural areas were really singled out in this.
Right.
Because, the long distances these trucks had to travel. So they cut down on these warehouses, which delayed mail to these rural communities by a day or two. And that's ridiculous, especially when you're depending on, a certain check coming in the mail or payment for products or whatever, even ordering products for your business. You can't get that stuff on time anymore. And that's what they were complaining about most to DeJoy. I don't know if it's something that he had control over necessarily because they're cutting the amount of money they're sending to the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Republicans screwed the post office for many, many years.
Right.
They had to pay their pensions ahead of time, and it was making the post office go broke. Now we're trying to recover from that mess, or I don't know if they've ever repealed that. But it's a bad situation for the post office. And DeJoy should have been gone right away 4 years ago. But,
He hung on.
Yeah, he's hung on, and I guess they're going to try to get rid of him. I don't know. Before the end of the year, I don't get it. I don't know what the hearings are about exactly.
I don't understand, but I know in Wisconsin they redesigned the flow of the mail. All the mail goes through Milwaukee, right?
Right.
No matter where you're mailing things from, at least in the southern part of the state, it goes to
Milwaukee
first.
That wasn't a great improvement either.
No, it wasn't. It slows everything down, actually. But don't know. Well, that's what they had to do.
Good point. And while we're talking about the administration and, you know, taking care of the problems and making them worse, Donald Trump ran on one thing, and that is he's going to be the peacetime president, anti-war candidate.
That's what he said.
He's going to be out there, and he's plugging away. And we have a culmination of comments from him just to prove a point that he is going to at least promote peace worldwide, and he can do it. And I think he's got a plan.
Cut, number 14.
Is this an old cut, John?
It's cut 14.
Is it from this month?
No.
Give me a second.
Time's up. Okay.
This is a month old clip.
Yeah, it is a month old clip.
Okay. Can we find it or no? Okay. Stand by.
Tell us a little more about what it's all about while it's coming up here.
14. Well, you have it on there, right? Cut 14 and a daily show. Peacetime president. It should be
here. We go.
Easy to
see. We know what we'll get with Donald Trump: a largely peaceful, stable world.
We are going to blow your largest cities and the country itself to smithereens.
He is going to get us out of these endless wars.
We have to bomb the hell out of them.
Peace throughout the world.
He's an anti-war guy.
Should we declare war?
I think so. Why not?
President Trump brought historic peace to the entire world. He brought peace to the Middle East.
President Trump ordering the U.S. to, quote, drop the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan.
A stable peace plan that was working and no one was dying.
Civilian deaths increased 330%.
We had peace from Kim Jong-un.
The president also threatened a war with nuclear North Korea, tweeting, I too have a nuclear button.
When he talks about war, he talks about it the way any moral person should.
When you get these terrorists, you have to take out their families.
And we know that from his own presidency, that it was a peacetime presidency.
There was a raid in Yemen that Donald Trump approved. One American was killed.
He actually has a realistic and cautious foreign policy.
It goes on and on.
It does.
Yeah, the peacetime president. Yep. Okay. Hey, coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking with Isthmus's publisher, Judy Davidoff. Mm-hmm. She'll join us. And also Rocker, of course, with the Max Inc. preview. And a whole lot more coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The mountain is high, the valley is 92.7. WMDX, John and Gordy, in the morning.
It's 6:51, 13 degrees, highs in the low 30s. Let's go to the phone lines. They're lighting up this morning at 608-879-8255. Mark is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, back when I was, part of my job, sending out bills to the counties for fire suppression services that the DNR had done, paying off on for fire suppression and for wildfires. There's bills I'd send out, and they would be delivered the next day.
Yeah.
Earlier on, and now that it took, the things had to go to Milwaukee, that it took a lot longer. That we actually had, the DNR actually had a mail room where they actually did sorted the mail. But I mean, it still points to the efficiency of the post office back. Yeah. A decade or so ago, and once DeJoy got in, everything gets shipped through, more central hubs that, as if Milwaukee is a central hub for Madison. But I grew up in far northern Wisconsin. We had a small rural post office, and things was, you'd send from there, were, labeled South Range Post Office when, mail stamped from there, and it went out, and now they closed down all those little local post offices, and the rural mail carriers, as my recent experience from up north goes, I was up north visiting a brother during deer season and out in the country there, and their mail carriers running around at 7 o'clock at night, delivering mail, delivering packages for Amazon and that kind of thing, because just ridiculous.
Well, a lot of them, those services don't go out to those you know, far out areas. So they use the post office for that particular purpose. But appreciate that, Mark. Thanks for that perspective on it.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for that call, Mark.
And let's go to Joe right now. Joe, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey guys, how are you? I just wanted to point out, I get a current from that earlier piece that you had of the dissing of the federal employees, and they're all in their bathtubs with bubble baths. And, you know, it is this interesting campaign where it seems like certain people are tasked with bad-mouthing and dissing and carving out certain areas, getting ready for what's going to be happening when Trump and Elon Musk, because, of course, they're joined at the hip, become president. And it's they've already said in Project 2025, they've indicated the various items that they'd like to get rid of. For example, weather services under NOAA, that would all be privatized, National Weather Service. They want to privatize the mail. You were speaking about that. They want to privatize, they want to get rid of government employees that have any sense of working long-term for the good of the people and instead have loyalists. They want their loyalists in there. And I would commend to your listeners, there was a great article in the Los Angeles Times. You can find it under the title, GOP and Musk Unveil a Threat to Social Security. Mm-hmm. It was put out on December 3rd, so LA Times, December 3rd. And it's a look at the attempts by one senator, Mike Lee, to start the conversation to get rid of Social Security. He says, it is my objective to pull out Social Security by the roots. And as part of it, you get this goofy, not unlike that study that you said that was quoted, what study that was quoted in the article about federal employees and their bubble baths. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to know what the study was, who did it, and what, you know, I mean, just to say, our study tells us nothing. But it was interesting because Lee is making the argument that anything will get you a better investment than Social Security, kind of ignoring all of the reasons why Social Security is constructed the way it is. And he was using, for example, that savings accounts would get you a better return of investment than Social Security.
Unbelievable.
You know, they're invested in treasury bonds that, of course, have a better return than savings accounts. Anyone knows that. I mean, my jaw dropped that a U.S. senator would try to use this kind of argument with us. But you can see what the campaign is. They're looking at, they want to privatize Social Security because their rich friends are going to make a ton of money on it. Mm-hmm. And this is their chance, and they're going for it. Yeah. So, as I said, the article was LA Times, December 3rd, and the title is GOP and Musk Unveil a Threat to Social Security. Really good analysis of the arguments and why they're phony baloney. So thanks, guys, as always. Great show.
All right. Thank you, well, Joe. Thanks, Joe, for taking the big topic next hour away from me.
We appreciate that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I do want to talk about Social Security next hour. That's a big story, okay?
Yeah, it is.
But I understand. I get what she's saying about all of this. They have tried this so many times. It's been proven over and over again that they're wrong about each and every one of the points that they're making. And I saw a guy last night on MSNBC, and I want to get this. I believe he was on Joy Reid's show. And he made the argument that government doing this is a whole lot more streamlined and efficient than a business. Now, they were talking about the insurance industry, right? Yeah. But Medicaid has very low overhead. The insurance industry has, you know, CEOs and departments and, you know, research, and they have so much bloated administrative junk that takes all of our money. When you think about the profits, we've got that story, by the way, coming up later on as well, about, you know, the profits that they're making. That money could just go straight into a universal health care plan for this country. Again, I managed to bring it up, as I always do on this program.
Well,
I'm fighting for it.
You know, the other thing that she mentioned about the National Weather Service, that they want to try to privatize.
They tried
this
that.
Is never going to happen. Let me tell you why. Because the military is connected at the hip with the National Weather Service. They depend on the National Weather Service because it's the military.
Yes.
You know, and they need to know what's going on with the weather. And it is an agency that, you know, is never going to be dismantled, no matter how hard they try or privatize. There are private weather companies, yes, but they depend on the National Weather Service as well.
They do.
To get all their information,
wonder,
the radar returns,
wonder if
the satellites.
Hegseth is all for this. Yeah. You know, maybe that's why they want them.
Oh, maybe so.
You'll do whatever they ask.
Anyway, coming up in our next hour, Judy Davidoff from the Isthmus, the editor and president, will join us. Also, Rocker, getting ready for the Max Inc. preview. Coming back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning.
is the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.